Hello, welcome to my audio commentary for The Return of Godzilla, also known as Godzilla 1985 in the U.S. I guess we need to get this thing synced up, so my DVD doesn't have a menu. And just in case you don't know, this is the not the American version of the film, it is the Japanese version of the film, so I guess we'll start after the Toho logo fades out. I'll give a minute to sync up, or you can just pause, whatever. Okay, let's see. Okay. I'm trying to get synced up here, so I'm ready for you guys. And, okay, just right when it fades out. Okay, I got mine, and I'll begin the countdown in a minute. Okay, one. When I say go, after five, when I say go is when I will start. Okay, one, two, three, four, five, go. Okay, Toho Izu Production. Godzilla. Personally love this movie. It's, I'd call it my favorite Godzilla movie. Definitely. By a long shot, actually. It's got a great story, great destruction, great military. It's pretty much a perfect film, almost. Of course, many people's opinions are different, but it's fine. I'm the Monster Master, and this is The Return of Godzilla. Just reminding you. And, okay. For the next 103 minutes, I'll be discussing with you the film, the original version of the film, its legacy, and, the monsters, and its Americanization in 1985. Right now we're on the ship, and things don't look too good. Oh. The film is directed by, I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, Koji Hashimoto. It was written by Shuichi Nagahara. Produced by Tomoyuki Tanaka. It stars Ken Tanaka. And this film is Godzilla's revival from the 1980s. In the 1980s, for the first time in about 9 years after the Terror of Mechagodzilla was a box office failure, which caused the series to temporarily retire. But of course, Godzilla is always going to be back. This movie, instead of being a sequel to Terror of Mechagodzilla, is instead a sequel to the original movie, ignoring all other 14 Showa Godzilla films before it. Now we have our main character, Gro Maki, once again, played by Ken Tanaka. Okay, The after the film came out in Japan, it was brought to America in 1985 by New World Pictures, which took out about 10 minutes of footage from the movie and replaced it with footage of with Raymond Burr reprising his role from the first Americanization of the first film, known here in the U.S. as Godzilla, King of the Monsters. The Americanization of the film picked up the pacing a little, but the scenes of the U.S. military are infamous among fans due to the terrible hammy acting and the Dr. Pepper product placements. The original version is far superior, I have to say. Now we see something is wrong here, and Goro realizes something is very wrong. Oh, sorry, well. Gotta admit, the film can be kinda slow sometimes, despite it probably being my favorite Godzilla. We're about to see the Shockurus monster, which is the first monster seen in the Heisei series of Godzilla films, which is basically a giant lice of Godzilla. And using it was a puppet, of course, and it's a pretty decent effect. Yeah. So. Here is one of the first changes to the American version. The fight is made extremely shorter, probably to kind of hide the sea louse's unconvincing look in some of the shots. Actually, this film is the last of the Showa era, but it's part of the Heisei series, or Versus series. This is the first Godzilla film shot in, the 185-1 aspect ratio VistaVision. All Godzilla films in the Heisei series up to Godzilla Versus Destroyer were shot in this ratio. Now, it was a monster. This is the first Godzilla movie in Korea to actually be dubbed in Korean. Before then, most of the Godzilla movies in Korea were still in Japanese with Korean subtitles. This is also the first film since the original Gojira in which Godzilla doesn't battle another monster. Toho made this film after the Godzilla Mania of 1983, where Toho held a film festival with all previous Godzilla films, as well as other Toho sci-fi and monster classics. Actor Akihiko Kurata attended the festival dressed as Dr. Serizawa from the original Gojira. It resulted in a new wave of merchandise and other events, including Bandai to license Godzilla toys, and Akira Ifukube conducting a popular Godzilla Fantasia, whilst creating a new generation of fans. Because of this, Toho figured it was time to bring back the monster. This is another scene cut from the English version of the film. It's kind of unnecessary, I think. It kind of works. Instead, it's replaced by our first viewing of Mr. Martin. Not Steve Martin, as he is called in the original Godzilla King of the Monsters, because Steve Martin, the actor, was already popular, and that would be kind of funny, I guess. We'll get back to Akihiko Hirata later. Or maybe now. The role was originally for Akihiko Hirata instead of he was going to play the role of the scientist you see here, Dr. Hayashida, but he died before the film was made, sadly, and earlier in 1983, I believe. No, he died in 1984. The film is partially based on a 1980 story treatment by Tomoyuki Tanaka and Akira Murawa called The Resurrection of Godzilla, Gojira no Fukuatsu. Conceived as a direct sequel to Gojira, a new Godzilla identical to the one from 1954 was awakened by illegal nuclear waste dumping by a freighter in the Pacific Ocean. New protagonists include Shinpei Muraki, the young director of the Information Science Center, Professor Inamura, his daughter Kiku Inamura, Muraki's love interest, American scientist Dr. Radnir. The story was also the introduction of what is considered Toho's greatest lost monster, Baggin, which Godzilla fought in the story. Baggin, a guardian spirit, had four forms: the dragon spirit beast, the ape spirit beast, the water spirit beast, and ultimately totem-like Helmagom for the three forms. Godzilla savagely fights and kills the monster after the middle of the film. Another adversary is his Japanese self-defense force armed vehicle, the Super Beetle, which is now known in this film as the Super X. Film's climaxes as the The film's climax involves the protagonist attempting to destroy Godzilla on Bidanas Atoll with a trap containing Dr. Inamura's nuclear invention, Rayconium. When the device malfunctions, Dr. Randir makes a Serizawa-like sacrifice and reactivates the weapon, guilting Godzilla lethal radioactive blue flames, apparently killing the monster, taking Radner's life in the process. The story ends with Godzilla's body washing ashore on a beach on the west coast of the United States. Nuclear power plant nearby. Narration stated, as long as nuclear energy exists, Godzilla will live. Godzilla's eyes open and the monster stirs to life with a mighty roar. Though the script was never produced, many of its elements remain in the film, including the radioactive sea louse and Godzilla attacking a nuclear power plant. Now here's one of the political aspects of the movie, because of the news blackout with Godzilla. I'm getting this stuff off the Internet Movie Database, okay? Executive producer Tomoyuki Tanaka strongly considered two Godzilla series veterans, Ishiro Honda and Akira Fukube, to work on the film. Despite his pleas, both men declined for professional and personal reasons. Still both greatly affected by the passing of special effects wizard Eiji Tsuburaya in 1970. Felt that Godzilla died when Eiji Tsuburaya died. Additionally, when Ifukube heard about the changes made to Godzilla, such as an increased size from 50 to 80 meters, he said, "I did not write music for 80-meter monsters." Although he's not Ifukube, I've got to admit, I really love Reizero Koroku's score for the film. Has an incredibly epic feel to it, and it really is a great score, I've got to say. Sorry for that pause. I had to do something. Well, anyways, now we're going to learn more about the professor, and maybe we'll learn a little bit more about ourselves. I don't know, but yeah. Another problem with this film is the movie doesn't imply that Godzilla is a walking nuclear weapon. It tells you up front he is a walking nuclear weapon. Feels like the subtext is kind of destroyed. Oh, so sorry about that again. We're about 20 minutes in now and starting to learn about our main characters. The role of Naoko is played by Yasuko Sawaguchi. The basis of being chosen as the then new Toho Cinderella earlier that year, initially after which she had been already made her debut in Kenji Monogatari 3 Shinose no Uta. So for Godzilla's big comeback film, it made sense for Toho to cast her as the female lead, since she was Toho's hottest new actress at the time. Ah, my tongue's hurting, sorry. Now we're learning about her Nalako. This film is a better sequel to the original than Godzilla Raids Again, because it, it's a much better tone, of course Godzilla Raids Again isn't really as bad as people say it is, it's just a little slow. Pretty much after the Osaka battle, it's kind of boring. There's really not much to talk about right now, since it's mostly just, a bunch of talking. Oh, darn it. Oh, her brother is still alive. That's good. And now we realize, his reporter friend Goro's true intentions. Now here we have a Russian submarine, and it is soon going to be attacked by Godzilla due to the Cold War tensions at the time. That's pretty much what this movie's about, really. The Cold War. Don't know if you could see Godzilla as a metaphor for the Cold War, but whatever. Can't really comment on the Russian acting in the movie because I don't speak Russian. Sounds good enough. At least better than the American acting in the film. Or even the... Even the acting in Godzilla 1985 isn't very good. I guess we could talk about Godzilla 1985 for a little bit. New World did a lot of shortening and reorganizing of scenes for the movie. Changed shots, added sound effects, There have not been many Russian actors in Japan at the time. I mean, never really thought of many Russians being in Japan, really. But I guess they're not that bad. Return of Godzilla. Yep. Once again, the musical score is great. This movie has special effects by Teruyoshi Nakano, who did the effects for the 70s Godzilla films, from Godzilla vs. Hedorah to Godzilla Terror of Mechagodzilla. He does a really good job in this film, and it shows that he could do very good on a budget. The miniatures in the movie are extremely advanced and almost lifelike in some shots. So yeah, this is the return of Godzilla, and now the Godzilla might throw the world into American war, into non-American nuclear war. Yeah. Just once again showing of the nuclear Cold War era of the times. Which is not good. So, now Japan's going to save everyone, because they know what they're... because they'll blame it on the monster, you know? That would work for a lot of things. Like, if something happens between two countries, Japan will say, hey, it was a monster. No, whatever. I guess I could talk about the film's budget. It was $6 million. Made a total of $11 million, which, adjusted for inflation, that's actually quite well. It was leased for $500,000 from Toho in 1985. The US budget for the film was $200,000 for all the scenes of Raymond Burr. Marketing was about $2,500,000, and May went on to make a total of $4 million in the US. It's the last Godzilla film to be released in theaters for about 15 in America for 15 years up until Godzilla 2000. So yeah, it's kind of a failure in America. Don't know why he's calling revenge on Godzilla, because isn't it kind of the sea louse that did the bad stuff? I don't know. Now, one of the coolest newspaper scenes I've ever seen, with really great music by Reijiro Koguruku. Do 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 do. In this shot, it almost looks like he belongs in a 70s Godzilla movie with his mustache and everything. After Godzilla versus the Gargantuas. Godzilla versus the War of the Gargantuas, you know. Godzilla versus the Asuka Fortress. a monster revolt within the government. Godzilla does battle with a giant mech constructed by the SDF. Kind of sounds like a mid Heisei movie almost. And the return of Godzilla version 1. Now enjoy the Godzilla love theme as the credits go. Thank you. I wanna cry but the tears come. Yeah. Goodbye. Oh.